All right. Well, have a seat and transition into a message from God. And just know that when you come here, you know, the music is part of God's message, His heart to us, and we sing it back to Him in love of who He is. And for those of you visiting, we're just really glad to have you part of New Crossing family, and that's how we know ourselves as sons and daughters of God, walking this journey together, and it's very beautiful. And so let me pray and invite Jill to bring God's word to us. So, Father in heaven, we first bring our own hearts to you and pray that you open up our ears, our eyes to see the wonders of who you are, a God who wants to be present in our lives. And Lord, we pray for Jill, whose heart is to serve you. And thank you for the words you've put on her thoughts. The places you've taken her this week as she has spent time with you, quietly in word, meditating on the things that you're wanting to speak to us. And we pray, Lord, that your spirit not just empower her words, but your spirit empower our hearts for the things you're trying to do this morning in us. And thank you, God, that it's not just a matter of faith, of believing, but it's also about living with you every moment of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Does everybody have a card? They were in the bulletins. If the ushers wouldn't mind grabbing cards, and they'll just, while I start, they can just come around with them. You'll need them later, and it'll just be smoother if you have them now. You don't have to worry about it. You'll need a pen, too. So just hold on to those. So have you made any New Year's resolutions? Are you going to make any? Maybe some of you. You know, often we look at the new year and we think, oh, it's a great time to make changes. You know, the holidays are over and we've pretty much either eaten or thrown out all the cookies, and now it's time to turn over a new leaf, have a fresh start, do something new, right? So do New Year's resolutions work? Sometimes, maybe. Maybe. I think when they work, it's when they're part of something bigger. It's part of more of a plan rather than just waking up January 1st and saying, okay, today I'm going to be different. And that just doesn't work, right? That tends to kind of be really short-lived. And then when that happens, really, we end up feeling worse than if we'd never made them in the first place, because it's like, oh, well, there's something else I failed at. I wish I'd never even said I'd do that, because then I'd feel better than I do now. So why do we make New Year's resolutions? Isn't there something in us that says, oh, I want to have a fresh start. I want to start clean. You know, it's really funny. Selena went to camp when she was, I think 9, with her friend who was 10. And when we picked her up and this friend's parents picked her up, her parents said to her, so how was camp? And this is a 10-year-old. She said, oh, it was great. It was so good to have a fresh start with Jesus. And they're thinking, you're 10. How can you possibly need a fresh start? But we have that desire in us, right? We have that desire for, okay, start over. Press the reset button and go on. And we do want to be better. There's something kind of hardwired into us. We want to improve. We know that we were made to be better than we are, and we want to become that, right? So we look ahead and we see where we want to be, who we want to be. And, you know, that was very much the sense that the writer of Philippians, who was Paul, and the writer of Hebrews, who we're not quite sure who that was, they had this sense in some of the passages that they wrote. So we're going to look at a couple of passages that they talked about looking ahead and saying, I want to be better. I want to be more like Christ. I've got a goal I'm going to head for. And so the first one that we're going to look at is in Hebrews chapter 12. So if you start in your New Testament, you start thumbing through past Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts, and Romans, and then we get into lots of little letters and keep flicking. And when you get to Timothy, start slowing down because you're almost there. It's a couple little books, and then you'll find Hebrews. So, in chapter 12. So, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, therefore, you're always supposed to ask, what's it there for? Well, chapter 11 was talking about all the heroes of the faith, all the people through the Old Testament, Abraham, Moses, David, all these people who've set us this example of faith. And so he's saying, because of that example, he says, therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, all these people who've set us an example in the faith, Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So he's got this idea of looking ahead, right? And if you flick back a few pages to Philippians, it's about 50 pages in my Bible, but it might be different in yours. Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this or am already perfect. And what he's saying he has not already obtained is being like Christ and sharing with Christ in his resurrection and his death and his resurrection. So he's looking at being like Christ. And he's saying, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Jesus Christ has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on for the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So we've got this idea of pressing forward, and we tend to read these verses and we think, okay, we're going to go forward. We're going to keep our eye on the prize. There's a finish line ahead, and we're going to go for it. And we're going to look at Jesus. We want to become more like Jesus. We want to run with him. We want to look forward to the great future that he has with us in heaven with him. And we're just going to push forward. We're going to strain. We're going to persevere. And we're going to get to that prize, right? And it's great. Absolutely. That's absolutely what we want to do. And you know what? That would be a great sermon, and one day I'll preach it, but not today. Because there's another sermon that we need to hear first. See, it's really easy to hear all this teaching about moving forward and persevering and keeping your eye on the goal. And we get really charged up and excited and we leave, and it might last 5 minutes, it might last 5 months. But, you know, we get to a point where it's just like, it's just too much. We just can't do it. You know, we persevere, we try, and then, you know, we get spiritual about it and say, well, I've just got to be more filled with the Spirit. I'm obviously trying to do this in my own strength, and I need to rely on the Spirit's power, and then I can do this. But after a while, it's like, it's just not enough. It's just too hard, and we can't do it. So why is that? And I think the reason is that we forget the first things that those writers said before they said that they were going to press on to achieve that goal. If we look carefully back at Hebrews 12:1, he says, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And then in Philippians 3 in verse 13, Paul says, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. So before we can press forward, we need to let go of some things that weigh us down and some sin that clings and keeps dragging us back to the starting line, right? There's some things that we need to forget because they're a burden. They're slowing us down. We can all run the race that God has for us. We can all endure. We can all persevere. We can reach the goals that he sets for us. But to do that, we have to first let go of some stuff that we don't need anymore. You know, otherwise, as we follow God, as we seek to become more like Christ, what we're doing is we're just keeping adding more and more things to our lives, right? More priorities, more goals, more things to do, more commitments, more, right? And it's kind of like a teenager who changes their outfit 12 times in a day, right? Now imagine if instead of changing their outfit, they just kept adding layers and layers and layers and layers, and they're wearing 12 outfits, and they end up like Randy in Christmas Story. Remember, have you seen that movie recently? We watched it this week. I love that movie. And so the mom layers him up in his snow clothes, right? And he's got all these layers on, and he's got the final thing is his wool snowsuit, and he's just so layered up. And as his mom's winding the scarf around his head, he's saying, I can't put my arms down. And she goes like this, and they pop back up. And she does that a couple times. Then she says, oh, you can put your arms down when you get to school. You know, anyway. But, you know, that's what we're like, isn't it? You know, and then we wonder why when we fall over, we can't get up because we're just so weighed down by all this stuff, right? That's what our lives look like, layer upon layer upon layer, right? So we kind of get lost underneath all that. And, you know, a teenager's bedroom floor tells us that that's not what they do, right? I swear there were weeks at a time where we did not see Selena's bedroom floor growing up. She's changed. She's very tidy now. So I need to set the record straight there. But, you know, we need to be more like teenagers, right? We need to leave the pile on the bedroom floor and not layer up. So we can all make and keep New Year resolutions, and we can make resolutions to run the race with and towards Christ. But to do that, we have to make old year resolutions first. And that's what we want to do today, is make some old year resolutions. There's a great line in the carol, Joy to the World. Let every heart, what is it? Let every heart prepare him room. That's what we're going to do. We're going to make room for God in our hearts and lives in 2013. I believe that there are some things that God wants us to leave behind in 2012 so that we can run free with him in 2013. So what does he want us to leave behind? Well, these passages told us he wants us to leave behind every weight, sin that clings, and some things that we need to forget. Now, there's a lot of overlap between these things. I am going to talk about each one of them separately, but understand it's all a little fuzzy and intermingled. You know, we don't need to be arbitrary and figure out, so is that a weight? Is that a sin that clings? Or is it something I just need to, it just doesn't matter. The point here is to let the Spirit speak to you. What is he saying that you need to leave behind in 2012? So weights. Have you ever had to carry something heavy? You know, you start out for a while, depending on how heavy it is and what shape it is and all of that. You know, sometimes you can carry it for a while, but then it starts to get heavier. Heavier and heavier, right? You think, oh, I've just got to put this down. Or if you've got a really nice ergonomically designed backpack, like the one that Craig gave me for Christmas, I'm so happy. I'll no longer have one bag for my computer and another bag for all my junk and all this stuff slung over my arm. And then you get out in the parking lot and it falls down. And you drop your key in the snow. It's great. I've got an ergonomically designed backpack. And it's cute, too. You can look at it afterwards if you like. Anyway, I could carry stuff for a long time with that backpack. But still, however comfortable I feel carrying heavy stuff around, when I take it off, it's going to be like, oh, I'd forgotten how heavy that was getting. You know, it felt kind of good, but man, it feels good to take it off, right? Anyone who runs or bikes or does any kind of racing knows that weight is really important, right? The weight of your shoes, the weight of your clothing, the weight of even the water bottle you're carrying. For us with bikes, it's the weight of the bike. So even your body weight makes a huge difference in how far and how fast you can run. And we are, aren't we, a very weighed down society. There's so much that we feel that we need to have in order to have a valid lifestyle. And we become very tied to all the stuff, the houses, the cars, the jobs, the hobbies, the experiences we need to have, the commitments that we make, all the stuff, right? We had some friends when we first got married, Eric and Kim. We knew them in California. Eric went to seminary, so we knew them in Illinois. And then they went back to the West Coast at one point before they went to the mission field. And one of the things I remember about Eric and Kim is they, when they moved, they only took whatever fit in their four-door sedan. Even when they had three kids, they either got rid of everything or they gave it away, they sold it, whatever, and they just got in the car and went. If it didn't fit in the car, they didn't take it with. It was, I really admired that. It was amazing. So when they were called to leave on the mission field and go to Ethiopia, it was relatively easy for them to just leave with what was in their suitcases because they were in the habit of getting rid of the weights. To me, that's really challenging. I don't know if I could do that. I would find it really hard. There's some things that I would want to take with or I'd want to put in storage for when I came back. But that, for me, was a great example of getting rid of weights. But there's other weights that we carry that are too heavy for us. There's other things that weigh us down because it's not necessarily just possessions. It's not just stuff. Weights can be things like burdens and worries and anxieties and all those what-ifs. Well, what if I get sick? Well, are you sick? Well, no, but what if I get sick? Or what if I lose my job? Well, do you think you might lose your job? No, but what if I did? You know, there's all these what ifs and all these scenarios that we play in our mind, and it becomes, our brains get heavy, right? And even things like jobs and hobbies, which are very good. Hey, it's great to have a job. It's very healthy to have hobbies. But if they become so consuming that they take up all of our time and energy and thoughts and resources and everything, so there's nothing left for something that God's calling us to be, then they can become a weight, right? And it can be the same even with family commitments. You know, family, I believe, is part of the load that God designed us to carry. But it can become a huge burden for us, especially if we have kind of an unhealthy view of, oh, well, I should do everything for my spouse, or I should do everything for my kids. And we run around carrying just way too much weight. That can happen with your wider family. Maybe, you know, it's great to get together with your family. It's great to help one another out, babysit, whatever. But if it becomes something that just is so demanding, it can become really heavy, right? It can become a real burden. Addictions can become a real burden. They can become a real weight. We're tied to, oh, when can I get that next fix? You know, it can be something as mild as caffeine or something more serious like alcohol or drugs or gambling or whatever it is, right? And we're just tied to, how am I going to get it? How am I going to pay for it? How am I going to hide the fact that I need it so bad? And it becomes this huge weight that we carry. Debt, there's another huge weight. You know, the financial people tell us you pay for overspending twice because you got to pay for it, pay back the money, plus the interest. So debt becomes this huge millstone. You have to carry 2-3 jobs to get stuff paid off. Trying to keep everyone happy, trying to keep up an image, that can become a huge weight, right? Trying to look like we're something that isn't really who we were designed to be, that can become a huge weight. And even things like just the assumptions that we make and the illusions that we carry. In Proverbs 3, verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Sometimes our own understanding is an understanding that we've absorbed from our society around us of the way that the world's supposed to be. But it's not necessarily God's view of the way that life is supposed to be. So we have to let him give us his perspective, his worldview, which may be a little lighter to carry than his. Different priorities, so that we haven't got this weight of carrying this man-made view of what life is supposed to be. And sometimes weights aren't so much things as they are mindsets. I spent some time this week just praying about, okay, God, well, you know, I'm going to talk to these people about weights. What weights am I carrying? What am I carrying around that I shouldn't be? And I realized for me, there are things, responsibilities, things I do, whether it's here at church or things I do at home, that I carry as a weight. And what I realized is that it feels like a weight because I tell myself, I have to do it. I got to do it. But, you know, if I start viewing it differently as a choice, as a privilege, then it's not so heavy anymore. And in a sense, nothing changes. For me, a big one at home is cleaning. I hate cleaning. So cleaning feels like a weight. But, you know, I found that it can, I mean, I don't think I'm ever going to like cleaning. But it really changes if I look at my house and say, God, I'm so glad I have a house to clean. I'm so glad I have a family to clean for. Or to clean with me, that's even better. I'm so glad that I have friends who come over, that it's worth keeping the place nice for, so that they feel welcome. And then that changes it. So I'm doing the same thing. I still got to clean, but it feels so different, right? And sometimes we know that some of the things that we're carrying are just too heavy, but we just don't know if we can let go of them, or how do you let go of them? How do you do that? Or maybe you feel like you've been trying to put them down, but then you just keep picking them up again. Well, I thought I put that down, but here I am with it. It's right here. Or perhaps you've been carrying things so long, you honestly don't remember what it feels like not to carry them. So how do you set down weights? I think the first step is to recognize them. And that's something we need God's help with. we need to ask the Spirit to show us, okay, what are the weights that I'm carrying, the things that are too heavy for me that I was not designed to carry? And then realizing that we do have a choice. We don't have to carry anything. It's a choice and it's a privilege to get to carry certain things in life, right? You may have seen people who are my age, maybe a little younger, may have seen the movie Fatherhood. At one point, he stands there and he says, my whole life is have to. Well, no, it's not. That's garbage. It's all a choice. It's a privilege to be a father. It's a privilege to be a mother. It's a privilege to be a friend. It's a privilege. And we have choices to make. And depending on what the weight is, it's going to make a real difference how you take it off, right? Some things, if they're things that you're carrying that really are, that you've got yourself into a commitment, you're going to have to put them down carefully or someone's going to get hurt, right? It's kind of like if I drop a heavy weight on a hardwood floor, it's going to leave a dent. It's going to do some damage. So maybe if you've made a long-term commitment, you may have to set a date and give some people some warning. Hey, you know what? I've realized this is just too much. I'm going to need to back off. So I'll give you some time to find someone else, but I'm going to need to let go of this. So you may have to do some planning. You may have to brainstorm with your family or your friends or get a mentor or your Bible study group, your community group, life group, whatever. You know, get people together and say, you know, this is too heavy for me, but I have absolutely no idea how to set it down. What do you think? Can you help me out here? Other people often think of things that we would never think of. And sometimes we can delegate. Sometimes we can share the load with other people. There may be something that's too heavy for you, but to someone else it would seem like a feather because they're designed differently. It's not a hard thing for them. In Galatians chapter 6, Paul says a couple things that seem contradictory. He says in verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And then if we drop down to verse 5, he says, for each will have to bear his own load. And you think, okay, Paul, well, which is it? Are we bearing one another's burdens or are we carrying our own load? And I think it's both. It's not really a contradiction. You carry what you're designed to carry and you share the things that you're not designed to carry with other people. And we help each other out, right? Matthew 11, verse 28. This is Jesus. Jesus knows that we weren't designed to carry things that are too heavy for us. And these are just beautiful verses in Matthew 11, but starting in verse 28. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He knows that we tend to pick up stuff that's too heavy for us. So he said, come to me, you're heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So ask God to show you what he wants you to be carrying, what yokes and burdens that he designed specifically for you. And ask him to show you all the weights in your life that you need to lay aside so that you can run the race that he has for you. Psalm 38, verse 4. You just get this sense that I think it was David who wrote that psalm, and he just feels this weight. He says, for my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. So the next thing that we need to lay aside, right, is sin that clings. Sin which clings. You think about cling, it's really a good thing, right? The static cling. Not too keen on that. There's a clingy child or a clingy person, which usually means kind of an unhealthy relationship with a child. It could just be that they need to grow up, mature, whatever. But it's not usually a good thing. Sin that clings. It's kind of an icky picture, isn't it? It's kind of this monkey on your back that it's just so hard to shake off. And you know, that sin clings to us. It's because it's kind of habit forming. You know, we like to think that we could get away with something once, but it tends to just want to hang there and not go away. And I think part of it is there really is an enemy out there, and he lies to us. And he likes to tell us about how good sin will be. So what he does is he gives us this very myopic lens so that we're very focused on the short term. It'll feel good now. Forget all that long term. You know those verses that we read? They're all focused on the long term, right? Eye on the prize, eternal life with Jesus, the fabulous life with him, right? The long range goals. The long range goals, even of who you're going to become on this earth and who you are becoming, but not the right here, not the next step. It's all keep your eyes way ahead, and that will keep your perspective true, right? So the enemy says, no, look right here. You know, go pet that nice fuzzy lion's mane because it's so fuzzy and so soft and so warm and it'll feel so good. And he doesn't say, well, yeah, but feel good for 5 seconds till he turns around and eats you, right? And that's what sin does, right? So he says to us, oh, don't tell the truth. Protect yourself now. They'll never know out there then. Well, that's never true, is it? Eat more, drink more, take the pills. It'll make you feel good until tomorrow. Have fun. Have sex with lots of people. Spend lots of money. It feels good for a little while. So the enemy tries to get us in the habit of feeling good now, right now, in the short term. That addicted to this quick high, this quick feel good, quick feedback, right? So letting go of sin that clings is like peeling off this monster. And it's an act of radical trust. It's trusting that Jesus will be there for us to get us through without that short-term high that we've got so used to feeling. And it's trusting that the long-term race that he has for us is so much better and will far exceed the high of that, the runner's high of running with Jesus will far exceed any short-term high from sin. It's trusting that if I don't drink or overeat or overspend, he'll help me feel okay. He'll satisfy that hole inside me. And if I tell the truth, he'll protect my career and my reputation and whatever it was that I was trying to protect by lying. And if I save sex for my spouse, it will be better in the long run than sleeping with that girlfriend or boyfriend right now. And it's true of the less obvious sins, too. Things like gossip. It's trusting that I will have better relationships if I don't talk behind people's backs or if I don't act like I'm in the know by sharing other people's dirt, right? It's trusting that with criticism, it's trusting that people will become more like Christ if I pray for them and praise them, the good things in their life, than if I point out all the faults. And in things like respect for authority, it's trusting that if I submit to the authorities God has put in my life, and if I take my concerns directly to them, that will be better than me subtly undermining them. It's trusting that with things like selfishness, trusting that God will meet my needs if I'm generous with other people. So how do we lay aside clinging sin? Well, again, the first thing is just to recognize it, to let God show you what the clinging sins are that you need to lay aside. And ask the Spirit to show you. And then we confess. We say, God, I'm sorry. And he's promised that when we do that, he loves to forgive us. He just longs to hear those words. God, I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me? The answer is always, yes, absolutely. And then we need to make a plan for new habits. And I know this may sound simplistic, but again, there are lots of people who would love to help you. You know, often we've formed habits, and it takes work to plan new habits. So often we have to do that. We have to ask God, okay, what are your long-range goals for me? I'm so used to just looking for what feels good in the moment. What long-range goals do you have for me, and how am I going to get there? What do I need to do to get there? And then filling yourself with the Spirit, asking God to fill you, asking his Spirit to come. It's kind of like a nonstick surface. You know, if you think people often talk, you know, for sin that clings, nonstick surface. If you're filled with the Spirit, it just can't stick. So ask God. There's nothing you can really do to fill yourself with the Spirit, but ask him, God, I can't do this. I need your Spirit. I need your help. And you know what? The enemy lies to us. So fill your life up with truth. Read the truth. This is the truth. That's going to come against all those lies that the enemy tells you. talk to people who will surround you with truth, a mentor, people in life groups, community group, whatever. Listen to truth on the radio. Fill your life up with truth. And that will help you lay aside clinging sin. And you know, Hebrews talks about this cloud of witnesses. We've got examples of people in the past. We've got people around us in the present to help us hold on to truth, to help us let go of clinging sin. Get some accountability. Accountability isn't a police force. It's not people waiting to rub your nose in the dirt when you do something wrong. It's people wanting to encourage you and support you and spur you on and keep you going. And don't give up. The next verse in Hebrews, after the ones that we read, talks about the struggle against sin. It can be a huge struggle, but don't give up. Don't use the struggle as an excuse to keep on and just say, well, it's just going to cling to me. I'm not going to bother. Use the struggle as a way to let Christ take root in your life and make you more like him. Continue to pursue freedom. Don't give up. So are there sins that are clinging to you and holding you back from the race that God has laid out for you? What is it that he's asking you to lay aside this year so that you can run with him next year? And then there are some things that we just need to forget. Forgetting what is behind is what Paul says. Forgetting what is behind, then I press on. And that word that's translated here, forgetting, it actually means to neglect, which is kind of a good way of thinking about it. If you think about it, that's like, I'm just not paying attention to them. I'm just going to neglect them. I'm just going to leave them over there. I'm not going to give them the time of day. They're not going to occupy my thoughts. They're not going to consume my energy. So what does it mean to forget? You know, can we really forget? And how do you know if you've really forgotten something that you needed to forget? Well, it really means that, because, you know, I mean, you can't always absolutely forget it, that it's not just completely gone. But it means that it's not always on your mind. It doesn't have any power over you. You don't get that knot in your gut when it comes up again. It doesn't send your mind off into some spiral, thinking about it, reliving it, thinking what you'd like to do to get back at that person, whatever it is, you know, or thinking about how awful you feel about it, whatever that is. And it no longer has any influence on our future. We may have sort of factual recollection of what happened, but to be honest, actually over time, even that can become fuzzy as we learn to forget. And there's a sense in which you can still remember it, but you're not defined by it. You don't carry the shame, you don't carry the pain. And even if it has some consequences in your life that you have to live out, it doesn't prevent you from moving on in life. You know, God doesn't remember our past. He doesn't remember our sins. In Hebrews 8:12, it says, "For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." So is God forgetful? Is he getting Alzheimer's in his old age? No. It's just that once he forgives our sins, they're not relevant anymore. They're no longer a barrier between him and us. They're not getting in the way of our relationship with him. They're just not relevant. So they're kind of gone. And this is an area where God wants us to be more like him, forgetting what is behind us. So what kinds of things do we need to forget? Well, we may need to forget some wrongs that have been done to us. Because sometimes we like to keep this little scorecard, because if I keep a scorecard, then, you know, if I keep it in the forefront of my mind, I'm going to protect myself from you ever doing that to me again. And then I've also got some good ammunition to throw at you if I ever need it. So I'm going to keep this little scorecard because it makes me feel good. Well, no, it doesn't. That ammo comes right back at you and explodes, doesn't it? The only thing you feel like you're holding something against this person and making them get theirs by holding the scorecard, right? But really, it's you's getting yours because it eats you up inside, right? So we need to let go of the things that have been done against us. And then we need to let go of our own past sins. We don't want to be defined by who we used to be. That's not who we are now. That's what you did. It's not who you are. The only benefit in remembering who you were is to just be amazed and marvel in how awesome God is, that he forgives us and gives us mercy and grace. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Woohoo! Right? We let go of past failures. Again, the only benefit to remembering them is to learn from them, maybe to laugh at them, but not to say, I'm never doing that again, or not to have it be something that is a stumbling block to something that God may have for us in the future, right? You know, if you failed because you're just human and finite, there's no sin in that. Okay, I found I can't do that. Well, there's something else you can do, so move on, forget what's behind. If there was something sinful in it, confess, say, I'm sorry, apologize to whoever you need to apologize to, apologize to God, move on. It's in the past, right? You know, we've all had negative defining moments in our past, right? Those times when, you know, something that you did or something that happened to you causes you to say, I will never, or I'm not this, or I'm not that, or I should never do that, right? Was that God telling you to say that? I doubt it. That was probably the enemy saying, you know, there's something in that person. I'd hate to see that good thing really be what God intended to be. So I'll just tell him a few lies, right? You know, for me to dance on Christmas Eve, which was a little out there for me, I had to let go. I had to forget the things that were said to me in middle school about doing Scottish dance and the fun that was made for me. And I needed to just forget that and let it go, for heaven's sake. It was the 1970s. It was a while ago. You know, and sometimes there's lies. Craig had talked in his sermon a few weeks back about vows that we make. You know, we say, oh, I will never do this. You know, someone says to you, you shouldn't be doing this. You know, you're really not good at that. You're bad at sports. You're bad at math. You're bad at this, that, whatever. You're fat. You're ugly. Who knows? You know, and it becomes defining for us. And we either make a vow ourselves, or something that someone has said to us becomes so defining in our lives that it affects our whole future from there on out. So if you've got some of those things, we need to let go, forget those lies, those vows, and move on, right? So how do we do that? Well, we forgive. If someone's done something wrong against us, we forgive them. And I know that sounds simple. If that's something that you're struggling with doing, talk to Darcy. She taught a whole life group last semester on forgiveness. Talk to Michael Leeson. He did a class at UW on forgiveness. And there are many other people in the church you could speak to, but those are probably our forgiveness gurus. So if you're struggling with, you know I need to forgive that person. I know I need to let go and I don't know how. Get some help. There are people who've really invested in that and would love to sit down and walk you through that process. We confess our sins and we receive forgiveness from God. And we apologize to those that we've wronged, and we ask for them to forgive us. And this may be the hardest thing. Then we believe that we are forgiven. Isn't that the hardest thing? Sometimes we can believe that God would forgive us, but can't quite forgive ourselves. And yeah, well, I know he's forgiven me, but to really, really own that and really say, I know I am forgiven. And I think this is why it says forgetting what is behind. It's a repetitive thing. It's not having forgotten one time. Having forgotten who I was, I'm going to run the race with Jesus. He says forgetting what is behind. I'm going to have to keep forgetting it because I'm going to keep remembering. So I'm going to need to keep forgetting. And that's important because otherwise you're going to be discouraged. You're going to think, 3 weeks from now, well, I thought I'd forgotten that. So why is it here? I thought I'd left that behind. Well, it's because sometimes we need to keep doing it. And each time it gets a little easier, they maybe get further apart, and it gets a little easier to set down. And then eventually you find, oh, I already have forgotten that, right? But don't be discouraged if you have to do it over and over a few times. And recognize those things in your past that became defining events, or defining things that were said to you or that you said yourself. And if you need to, get some help. Get some people to pray with you and let go of those vows. You're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. You're not alone. So I'm going to ask Daniel if he would come up. And this is where you're going to need your little card here. Because I want you to spend some time as Daniel plays for just a few minutes. And I want you to just spend some time by yourself with God and ask him, what old year resolutions does he want you to make? What weights does he want you to lay aside? Things that are just too heavy, things in your schedule, maybe over commitments that you have. It could be addictions, attitudes, mindsets, things that he wants you to let go of because they're just too heavy and you aren't supposed to be carrying them. Or what sins are clinging to you and keeping you from running the race that God's laid out for you? Or what do you need to forget? What past junk do you need to leave behind in 2012? 2013's a new year, and God's got a new race for you to run, and he wants you to be able to run free with him. So we're going to take a little time. I'm going to pray, and then you can just write on your card things that you believe God wants you to lay aside and leave behind. And then we've symbolically named this pillar here 2012. It's got a little slot in the top. And after a few minutes, Craig's going to lead us in communion. So you can come up and put your card in the pillar as a sign that you're leaving those things in 2012. And you're going to run a new race with Jesus in 2013. Yeah, Craig will invite you up after a few minutes when he does communion. And then you can take communion. You can take these symbols of Jesus' body and Jesus' blood, the bread and the juice, as a sign that you're going to run that race with him. So let's pray. God, thank you that you are a God who doesn't want us to be burdened. You're not a God who piles on heavy loads for us. You're a God who has races for us to run with you. And you have goals and desires for our lives. God, how awesome is that, that you want us to run with you? And God, we just confess now that we need your help because we tend to get weighed down with things that you didn't design us to carry, things that we take on, sins that it's just so hard to get rid of, things that we need to forget that we're carrying. And God, I pray that you would come by your Spirit, that you would show us specifically the things that you want us to lay aside, so that we can run the race that you have for us in 2013. So God, would you speak? Would you speak to each one of us and show us what you want us to leave behind? In Jesus' name.